in our third study of heaven. Tonight, the title of this lesson would be The Dwelling Place of the Righteous. Because there are many verses in the Bible that address the subject of heaven that are different words that are used. Take, for example, John the Baptist and his comments regarding the coming of the Christ, whom he was the forerunner for. In Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 12, he notes his fan is in his hand, and he will sift his wheat into the garner, and the chaff will he burn with unquenchable fire. Gehenna. He will burn with fire. The idea of Gehenna, and that word is used steadily in the scripture in reference to the punishment of those who are the wicked. Matthew 3 and at 12 is a passage that John the Baptist says to us that we ought to be a part of the wheat. We ought to be that which gives great strength to others. We ought to be that which is real and genuine. The individual doesn't get much help from eating the husk, but from having the wheat itself and the strength that comes therefrom, there is much good that comes. Only in our latter times have we in this generation come to realize the benefit of wheat products. Wheat that is a part of breads and crackers and things of that nature can really be of help to us. If we find ourselves in extreme, however, conditions, none of those good products that God has given to us will really be of help to us. We'll be suffering because of it, overuse of it. But used within the right quarters of its time, we find a blessing from wheat versus the chaff that he will burn with unquenchable fire. When we go in the Bible in reference to Jesus' own comments about this place, he doesn't refer to it as the garner or the place where the barn where the wheat is gathered, but he says, I go to prepare a place for you, to his disciples in John 14 and at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, he says. We like that in the South because of the idea of mansions and associated with a blessing that a family has and has a mansion on the hillside. The word can be translated and probably should have been many dwelling places. Because really and truly the term that's used there in reference to the mansions has not a reference to how nice it is, but the fact that it is a dwelling place with God. It's referred to by Jesus there as a house, a home, a place of dwelling. And that is the place for those who are doing that which is right. Because Jesus goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. It is the case that Jesus was saying to them, you need to follow the way that I point you. You need to follow the truth that I give to you. You need to follow the way of life that I'm offering to you. This is the right thing of the Lord. I was so glad tonight to hear in regard to one of my good students from days gone by, Mike Briscoe, and how that he worked the lesson this morning in regard to the heart. He is good at doing this. He's good at seeing not only the good side, because there is a good side to the heart where the heart is fully committed to the Lord. We read that and studied that this morning in our passage in 1 Peter 5 and as well as the opening of 2 Peter chapter 1. How important it is to have the whole heart involved with the service of God. But he worked a lesson down at Enid today, understand, on the side of the heart that says when people depend upon the heart and not upon the Word of God, they find themselves often deceived in thinking that if my heart is okay and I'm okay with God and therefore I'm all right with the Lord eternally, the idea is okay, I'm okay with God. And of course, the heart can be deceived. And the heart can be in this misled condition, getting away from God. And the thoughts and manner is, since my heart is okay with the Lord, in the way I feel about it, my feelings guide me. And the Lord asked not that the feelings guide our lives, but prayed for his disciples in John 17:17. Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is through the word of God that we're guided to do the things that we do and say the words we say and practice the way of life that we practice. Serve the manner of life that God wants us to do. It is the case that we recognize this future home in John 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. If this were not so, Jesus said, would I have told you? There really is in a question form. Would I have ever said anything about that dwelling place? If in fact, I remember a verse of scripture I used this morning out of John chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, in which Jesus said, no man has ever gone from earth up to heaven above. That was a reference to probably the idea of going into paradise and awaiting that time of deliverance from that and then into the presence of the judgment in God. But nevertheless, in regard to that matter, he goes on to say there in that passage of scripture in John 3 and 14, except he that came down from heaven and has declared the Father unto you. Jesus came down from heaven. He lived there in heaven. He was with the Father and prayed to the Father in John 17, the first few verses of that chapter, that he would be once again in the glory that he shared with the Father before the world was. As he was leaving this earth and leaving the time of his work here, he said, I have done what thou hast sent me to do. I have finished the course. I've kept this faith. And therefore I have done what you have told me to do. And I want to be once again enjoying the glory I shared with thee before the world was. So it is that Jesus talked about that. And then when we read here in reference to Jesus talking about this in John 14, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you I came down from above? I came down from the Father. He has a home for you. He has a dwelling place for you. Would I have told you that if it were not so? Jesus was steadily telling the truth. He was not into the way of saying just what he said in order to say words. But he was telling us the truth of God and his expectations of the disciples of the Lord. And when Jesus prayed for those disciples in reference to this matter, he said, Father, I do not pray for them alone, but for all those others who shall believe on me through their word. Their teaching of my word is going to lead many, many others. And of course, it led folks that we have known in days gone by, in an earlier generation of time, even of this congregation. I can sometimes just have tears to flow over here as I think about the place where they were sitting and the kind of people they were, the kind of people I knew in days gone by. Out of this very congregation, not to say the least of other congregations with which I have labored in years gone by. It's a joy to think of their relationship to the Lord, how that they have left us and gone on to a dwelling place where the righteous are said to be gathered into the garner as wheat, and where there is a dwelling place, a house, a mansion that God has prepared for them and for us as well. In reference to the idea, we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, in which we read about Abraham and his labors and his leaving Ur of the Chaldees, going to the land of Hebron where God told him to go, doing what God said to do in that regard. And then it explains for us a reason of his thinking. It is said regarding him, for he searched for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Where is that place you're going, Abraham? Well, I'm going where God told me to go, and I'm going to the land of Hebron. I'm going to that place over there. I'm going to stay as long as God tells me to stay there, and I'm going to leave there when God tells me to leave there. I'm going to do what God says do. He was faithful and true to God. He had a faith in God that is understood and related to the saving faith of Hebrews 11. And that he looked for a place, a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Builder was God. This was a place eternal, a place that is wonderful, a place for his home. He was looking for that place. Although he was obeying God here on earth and doing what he said do, he was looking beyond that time. I want to suggest to you and me that when we chose to be baptized into Christ, it may not have been that we knew enough at that point in time, but it wasn't too long before we read enough of the scripture to realize that there was a spiritual meaning to that baptism. That it was the case that it wasn't just the water, it wasn't just the cleansing of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience before God. And we sought and sought for what does that mean, a good conscience before God. And then one day it dawned on us that if we find ourselves in trouble and in difficulty with somebody in the family who says, "Did you do this?" And we find a guilt in our conscience if we said, "No, I didn't do that," when we know we did. We understand that that guilty conscience is not a good conscience to have. There are folks that have said what they said, and they've awakened in the middle of the night, not wishing to sleep a minute longer. They went and awoke somebody in the bed to tell them, "I have mistakenly said this. I have been a liar about this. I have a guilty conscience for which I do not have any peace until I tell you this wasn't true that I said earlier." What about a good conscience before God when we're baptized into Christ? Did we sincerely obey the Lord? Buried into his death, as Paul writes in Romans 6, and raised a new life. Did we begin to make an effort to rise and walk that new life? If we began to make an effort to rise and walk that new life, we were headed toward that city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We were looking forward to that place just as sure as Abraham was, because we see more than just the physical side of life. There's more to the physical service that we offer. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes there in regard to the grace of God that brings salvation. He said, "It's appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." If we're that kind of person that really does want to avoid those things of sin and wrongdoing in our lives, we'll begin to make an effort, not always successful at it, always thoughtful in prayer about it, because we find ourselves really with a guilty conscience about it. We find ourselves wondering when we will have that peace of comfort within our conscience, a good conscience before God. And we can have that good conscience before God. Their brethren, I'll point out at the close of this lesson tonight, that they lived debaucherous ways of life, but they were forgiven. And it was a wonderful hope that they had. We're talking about this place of heaven, referred to as a garner, a place in a barn for the wheat to be gathered in Matthew 3 and 12. A home, a house of God, a mansion, as Jesus spoke about in John 14 and 2. And here, a heavenly city whose builder and maker, whose foundation is built by God himself. Wonderful is that place of the soul. I'll take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, as we begin a close of this study tonight. There are many who believe that this is the idea of Paul himself saying, "I knew a man, and he was gathered up into the third heaven," he says in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. But then he goes on to say there in verse 4, how that he didn't know all the ins and outs, and he couldn't explain all the things about it, but he saw things there that he understood that the Lord told him he was not allowed to come back to earth and tell. There are those who believe in various commentary forms say that this is Paul himself, and that this third heaven that he went into was heaven itself, this place of God's dwelling, the place of Christ. I don't know that that has to be the case or does not have to be the case in this regard. Because what I want to note to you, to me, is a passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in reference to those who lived debaucherous ways of life. It is plainly noted in Ephesians 5 and verse 5 that those who are part of lascivious ways of life and covetous ways of life and idolatrous ways of life, idols, dwelling for money, dwelling for power, dwelling for fame, dwelling for those things that are just material things of this world. And he says that these who do these kind of things will not enter into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and of God. Ephesians 5 and 5. Who are these people here identified in 1 Corinthians 6? Verses 9 and 10, he talks about those who live lascivious ways of life. They're living exactly what he says in Ephesians 5 and 5, are not those going to enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of his Son. No home place, no future dwelling with God is for those who live and die in that condition. They live their lifetime. Notice the verb there. They do these things. Not they did these things, but now in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, he says of these people who were doing in days gone by, these things of life. He says, but such were some of you. Isn't it a good thing to go to court and say, you were doing this or that. You're not presently charged with this. You were. It's an earlier time. You are now blessed as a result of that forgiveness that you had back yonder. Such were some of you. But now you're washed. Washed by the blood of Christ in the baptismal waters. We find ourselves washed from our sins in His own blood. We're people who are sanctified, set aside. Set aside to a holy purpose, a holy use. That set aside to a holy use is going to give us an opportunity that when we go before the Lord's judgment bar, it won't be that you are, but you have been. You have been forgiven of this. Such were some of you, but now you're washed. You're sanctified. You're purified. The name of our God and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ rest within your lips and your heart of hearts and your mind, and you are serving Him as you left the earth in death. Not knowing when that hour of death will occur, not knowing when that time of crossing over will occur for any of us, we remind ourselves of the need to always pray in such a way as servants of God, as Simon did in Acts chapter 8, who said to Simon Peter, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you have said will come upon me. He wanted to live with the Lord in heaven. He wanted to have that home, that city. He wanted to have that house. He wanted to have that wheat in the garner for his life. What a blessing it was and is to have this dwelling place of the righteous. It's referred to in general in these terms. And in particular, we understand this great statement made in Revelation 14:13, when John is told by the Lord, write this. And the Holy Spirit standing there listening at the things being said by the Lord cannot help but say something about it. Listen to how that passage reads in Revelation 14 and 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What kind of works have the righteous been doing? Well, they've been doing the work of God. They've been obeying the Lord. They've been living in a very faithful way of the Lord's will and the Lord's way. They have now the blessing of a place to be as His wheat in the garner. A place to live in His house, His home, His mansion. A place in order to have a city whose foundation will never perish. It'll always be secure. These people are the people of whom He's speaking. Are you one of them? Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor. There's effort put into it. There's a real effort. There is a real struggle sometimes. And when those individuals would remember their temptation to sin and wrongdoing and how they asked the Lord to forgive them, and they were sincere and serious as they could be about it. And they began to live for Him again. And they were faithful and true for it. And then there was a weak moment in time and a weak hour in time. And they yielded to that hour in time. And they did in sin. And they called upon the Lord to forgive me. And they live now once again in a good conscience before God. They were laboring. They now will rest from their labors. And their works will follow them. There'll be others along the way that as long time is here, and people have the opportunity to read those examples. They'll have the opportunity to be influenced for good by this person's life. I'm reminded that in the book of Exodus chapter 20, in reference to God's way, it says that He visits the good unto the third and fourth generation. When we find ourselves doing righteous things and enter into God's dwelling place, our labors are not over. The good that was done is not the only good that will be seen. There will be somebody perhaps we never met on this earth, but they heard of our influence. And they began to serve the Lord too. Wonderful is that hope that we'll leave behind when we rest from our labors. And our works do follow us. I hope this is a blessing in your study about this place of the soul and this home of the soul and the studies of these three studies. My unique presentations of them and look at the idea of heaven. Indeed, He that came down from above, He declared it unto us. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. As we sing this song tonight, remember our relationship to the Lord. And if anyone here desires to be baptized into Christ, you'll begin a new way of life. It's more than just the water. It's the spiritual meaning to it that you will gain. And your rest of your life will be a life of hope and joy. Come as we stand together and as we sing. Follow me where He leads me, I will follow.
Dwelleth my soul in peace divine, peace that the world, though all combine, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth so seemingly sweet fail at the last my longings to greet. Only in Thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in Thee.
Good week.